Well, tonight's message, I am excited for. It's not what I was originally going to preach for the weekend, but it is what the Lord would have me to preach tonight. So this is what we're going to get into. Amen. The tonight's message is called Blessing Through Opportunity. Glory to God. And I love, it's really interesting. One of the things that Dr. Michael Jacobs said in that book was the importance of learning how God deals with you. Amen. And this is an important step in every Christian's life is to learn how God deals with you and speaks to you. And so, you know, my wife and I were the other morning we got together and we were what I mean is we got up and we were waking up together and I said, I really like to go get a coffee at this coffee shop. And as we did, we went down to this coffee shop, got a coffee and a breakfast sandwich or whatever, and we're sitting there talking, just having a nice conversation. And as we were, I heard some words in my spirit about opportunity, and I knew that it had something in specific. Actually, the words I heard was "give him opportunity." And when I heard those words, "give him opportunity," what I understood is that sometimes opportunity is necessary in order for us to walk. In fact, we'll see that it always is. Amen. God gives us opportunities. Your pastor will give you opportunities. Your boss, if you have a job, will probably give you opportunities. And when we're given opportunities, it's always up to us whether or not we're going to pass or fail. Amen? It's always up to us whether or not we're going to walk into them. But tonight we're speaking specifically about blessing. Amen? The blessing of the Lord. And this is something that I find very interesting. The things of God don't just fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree, as someone once said. It's not just something that just happens upon us. Now, there is a certain amount of God's blessing that we'll all walk in, and we're thankful for that, aren't we? Aren't you thankful that even though you didn't always follow God, there was still blessing of God in your life? And if you don't know where there is, well, you need to get a lobotomy, or not a lobotomy, a brain check, amen? But a lobotomy would remove the brain, but you need to get a brain check, and maybe if your brain is still not complying, maybe then you do need to get a lobotomy. But we need you need to have a brain check, because the truth of the matter is, you ain't got to look very far to see the blessing of God. If you drew a breath today, if you woke up today, praise the Lord, if you got out of bed by yourself, you've already walked in the blessing of the Lord, amen? And so it's a matter of how we look at it. And I find as I read scripture that a lot of scripture is a matter of how we look at it. Praise the Lord, Caleb. You're on to me. He knows what I was looking at. Praise God. But some thoughts came, and I'm going to share these with you as I was preparing the message. Do you seek God to just do things for you, or do you look for what he wants to do in and through you? So do you seek God just to do things for you when you pray or whatever? Are you just going to God, do this for me, or answer this prayer for me? Or are you looking for what he wants to do in and through you? You see, because this relationship, any relationship, you understand, there's got to be some back and forth. You can't have a one-sided relationship. And a one-sided relationship is when you go to the other person or the other entity and you say, this is what I want you to do for me, but you never offer yourself up for them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Most people in life, when they're going through trials, they are looking for answers to the trial instead of looking for opportunity. And it's through opportunities that God will increase us. It's through opportunities that God will take us further in the plan of God. It's through opportunities that God will get things to us. God does everything in our life through opportunities. In fact, I've learned this. God isn't just going to bless you because you need it. He isn't just going to give you money because you need it. But you know what he will give you? Give you opportunity to sow. And I don't mean, the Bible tells us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. So we understand that whatsoever a man sows, that they shall reap. So if you don't sow financially, then God isn't going to bless you financially. So the only way to get out of a financial crisis oftentimes is to sow. Amen. Now, I'm not saying this is always specifically the or the way to, but it is often the case. Amen. And I found that in my own life. Now, I'm not just talking about finances here tonight. I'm talking about every area, but that was one that came kind of bubbled to the surface. And so it's a good way, because it's a place that people always get tripped up. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so instead of just looking for answers, God, how do I, God, you know, we need to look for the opportunity. God, I remember there was a time when God, when I was dealing with some heavy stuff myself, my wife and I were under a lot of pressure. We were dealing with it. And we needed to be ministered to was kind of the place we were at. And, you know, as we were talking through this, all of a sudden my phone rang. And it was somebody in my family who had a question about something spiritual. Now, this was long before we were pastoring. It had nothing to do with us being called to pastor. But what I found in this was God gave me an opportunity. I needed ministry in my life, but he gave me the opportunity to get out of that need by ministering to somebody else. And as I was ministering to someone else, and really that's all that giving is or anything else is in the body of Christ, is when you give to someone, if you bless someone, you've just ministered to them. If you've helped somebody do something, you've ministered to them. If you've talked somebody down off of a ledge, praise the Lord, you've ministered to them. And so that's all that it really is. But God will give us opportunities. And so often we're just looking for the pain to stop that we don't look for the opportunity to get into God's plan.
Right.
And you're going to, and this is something I hope we see by the end of this message, is that sometimes the things that we're dealing with is our failure to make good on the opportunity or to utilize the opportunity that God has given us. We have to stop, and this is something about the blessing of God, and I want you to hear this, because this is something that has actually been stirring in me for a long time now. We have to stop seeing the blessing of God as an individual thing.
Yeah.
In other words, if I walked up to you and I handed you $20, you might say, praise the Lord, that's the blessing of God. But that's not the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. One-time thing, like a gift like that, could be a result of the blessing of the Lord. But the blessing of the Lord is very different. The blessing of the Lord is what brings things into our life or brings things into other people's lives. The blessing of the Lord is bigger than just the gift. And so a lot of times what we're doing is we're seeking the blessing. For in other words, like maybe we'll talk, you know, we talk about offerings. We'll take up an offering. And you might say, great, this is an opportunity for me to be blessed. But see, that's the wrong way of looking at it. It's one of many opportunities to get you into the blessing of God, but the blessing of God is not what's coming out of that. Praise the Lord. The blessing of God is something that supersedes individual things. And so we have to understand it like this. The blessing of the Lord is more like a mantle. It's more like a coat that we put on. The blessing of the Lord is something that should be with us always. Praise the Lord. I said the blessing of the Lord is something that should be with us and on us always. Do you know Paul was blessed even when he said he was poor? Glory to God. Now, it wasn't just a real good religious way of saying I'm dealing with being in poverty, but truly he was blessed while he was poor, and he understood that, and that's why he never went without. And we have to understand that this is the very basic thing of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about my wife's car. We drove it here tonight. My wife's car is it's a Buick. What is it? A Buick Envision. Praise the Lord. She envisioned herself in it. Praise the Lord. It's a Buick Envision. Now, when we were looking for cars, my wife test drove a lot of cars when we were looking for her car. She test drove a lot of different kinds of cars because she wanted the one that fit her just right. And we had test drove many different kinds of cars, and it came time to test drive this type of car, and she liked the way that it looked and everything, the way that it felt, and we got in it, and we test drove one. I think we test drove a regular one, right? We test drove a regular one, and even if that wasn't exactly how it happened, for the sake of the story, that's how it happened, amen? And so we test drove this car, and it was a regular one, and it was pretty gutless,
yeah.
Amen? I mean, you get on it, and it didn't go anywhere. Praise the Lord. Now, they make an option for this car that they call a turbo. A turbo is something that's added onto the car that makes it go really fast if you need it to. Amen? Turbos are nice, especially if you like to drive, especially if you don't like to drive something gutless, and we don't like to drive anything gutless. But, you know, when we're just driving down the street, this turbo isn't just running. It isn't just kicking on. The way the turbo works is when it calls for more power, the turbo will kick on however they do it, and it'll give you that more power. Amen? The blessing of the Lord is like turbo in our lives. We can drive around and just be in gutless, just kind of drive around in our gutless cars all day long. But see, the blessing of the Lord is something to come in and connect when it's needed. Amen. And so we need to, and that's the illustration that the Lord gave me, and I thought that was pretty good. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is a difference when you run it or when you don't run it. And we have to understand that about our lives. When we live under the blessing of the Lord, our lives will be lived much differently. So go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs 10:22. Praise the Lord. Now we know these scriptures, or you should. I quote it all the time. But it's important for us to get in here tonight. Amen. Proverbs 10:22. Praise Jesus. Says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, according to the way a lot of modern day people think, a lot of religious, real religious people, when they, you know, when you look at, when you interpret a scripture like this, this means one of two things. Either the blessing of the Lord is not on you, or God doesn't want you blessed, or the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Yeah. It's one of the two. It can't be both. Amen. Or I guess it could be a third, and that's the Bible lies, but we know that that isn't a viable thing. But this is interesting, because in the study of blessing, what the Lord had taught me about it was that very important point, that the blessing of the Lord supersedes our current position. It supersedes your current your current status. It supersedes how you feel. It supersedes what you have in the bank account. It supersedes how far you're going or how far you've been. Supersedes all these things. The blessing of the Lord is something that's put upon us. Amen? And so we have to understand that. Now, the word rich here literally means to accumulate, to grow, to make, or to gain riches. Amen. To accumulate, to grow, to make, or to gain riches. It gives us the idea that the blessing of the Lord is kind of a perpetual thing. Yeah. It's not just something that comes and then stops, and then comes and then stops. So you think when somebody gave you a gift of some sort that you were blessed by the Lord, but that's not the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord could cause gifts to come at any point. Could come, and I'm not just talking about natural gifts. I mean, could be spiritual gifts. It could be whatever. But the blessing of the Lord is on us continually. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's with us continually if we're the people of God. And we are. But we have to understand that. It's very important that we see this right. Amen? So it gives us the indication that the blessing of the Lord makes one, you could say it this way, the blessing of the Lord makes one accumulate as they go. Amen? Have you ever seen a snowball? Made a snowman? What do? You start rolling it in the snow, and what's it do? It accumulates. It grows as it goes. And that's exactly the way that the people of God should be. We should grow as we go. Amen. Not this way. Praise the Lord. I'm, working on that. We have to go back the other way. Praise the Lord. That's an area that we should not necessarily grow in. But, growing as we go is important. Right. Yeah. The reason that so many people struggle is because they are moment minded. Wow. Praise the Lord. Listen, I got this. I believe this was in my spirit as clear as I just said it. The reason so many people struggle is because they are moment minded. Yeah. What's moment-minded? That's exactly why the struggle comes. That's why there's an attack from the devil. Because the devil knows that if he can get you to get upset, praise the Lord. Can I give you an example of something that happened? Yeah. Now, I got a newer vehicle. I got a newer Jeep. And it's got one key fob. And the dealer told me that they would get me another key fob. It's just up to me to make sure that I go make the appointment to do it and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, my wife and I go out to the vehicle to go eat a very bad breakfast. Not in the vehicle, but we were driving somewhere to eat a very bad breakfast. And although we didn't know at the time it was going to be a bad breakfast. But that's just the way that it was. But we got into the vehicle and got into the Jeep. And I go to press the key fob because it doesn't have a key. It's just got a key fob. And so you just have to have that near you to be able to start the vehicle. Now I started. I went to start the Jeep, and it said no key fob detected. Well, I've got the key fob in my hand, so it's got to be detected. No, I had it in my pocket, so I pulled it out of my pocket and put it in my hand, and put it right next to the thing, and I tried to start it again. No key fob detected. Okay, so now in my mind, I'm starting to go down this road of being just, I just woke up, I wasn't quite awake yet and all that stuff. And I started going down the road that we all go down. This truck is worthless. It's falling apart. It's already, it just got it. But, you know, it's all of a sudden now it's a problem and it's the worst thing in the world. And I'm getting mad and all this stuff. And I'm starting to get worked up and stirred up. See, that's why the problems come. Because we're moment minded. The devil knows that we're moment minded. What he'll do is he knows that he can throw a little hitch in your giddy up. That all of a sudden you're going to get so worked up that you're not even going to think about the blessing of the Lord anymore. All you're going to be focused is on the thing. But see, a child of God who knows who they are, who understands the blessing of the Lord, those things don't bother them because they know that those things have no bearing on whether or not they're blessed or not. They can't. I said they can't. Praise the Lord. But do you know that trip up, now that comes to all of us, and it got me for a minute, but I eventually got over it. All it was a battery that needed to be replaced in the key fob. It was something very simple. Why it went, I don't know. Maybe there's a bigger issue, but it doesn't matter because it got fixed. Amen? So I blew it out of proportion, of course, in my own mind. But do you know that even though we miss it in an area, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily bad. But one thing that can happen is that can cause and open the door for us to start thinking wrong. That can get us to start looking at things wrong. And if we go down that path, then we can get into trouble. Then we can step outside of the blessing of God. Then we lay the blessing of God aside when the whole time he meant for us to be blessed by faith. He needed us to understand that by faith and to take those things by faith. This is why faith is so important. Amen? But so many people are moment-minded. They're like, oh, this bad happened to me now, so this must be the worst thing in the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we need to look at this right. What makes one accumulate is the blessing. When you look at the scripture, the blessing of the Lord makes one accumulate, makes one rich. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes you accumulate. Praise the Lord. And so that's something that has nothing to do with you. Do you understand that? Like God's blessing, you can't put God's blessing on you. But you can refuse God's blessing by not turning on the turbo. You can refuse God's blessing by going down the road that you shouldn't go. See, God is going to give us opportunity to be blessed, but we need to follow it. So often, you know, there's been many times, and I've seen this over the years, even when I wasn't pastoring. The pastor of the church will present an offering before the church, and half the church is complaining about it. You know what they're doing? They're taking their opportunity to be blessed, and they're pushing it way off into the future. Praise the Lord. You know, see, when there's things like my wife said that the air conditioner isn't working. Do you know what that should do in every person that sits in the church? Should stir them to do something about that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't even care about the air conditioner. Yeah, but I do, and I'm up here preaching. Yeah. I don't want to be up here preaching. If I got to take my jacket off, then you should want me to be comfortable. Yeah. Why? Because it ain't all about you. But it's not all about me either. I want you to be comfortable. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you see how it works. Glory to God. Yeah. The blessing is not the same as the gift. I want to tell you real quick about a friend of mine. A friend of mine I went to high school with. I just kind of reconnected with him. We were talking back and forth. I went and spent a little bit of time with him out in Kansas. That's where he lives. And we were talking back and forth. And I asked him, I said, what do you do for a living? Because I didn't even know, you know, it's been that long. I didn't even know what he did for a living. He's like, right now I don't do anything. He's like, I'm living off my investments. Wow, that sounds pretty good, right? That's it. Now, and he's living good off his investments. Now, through a lot of conversation, make a long story short, this is the key that I wanted to get to. He was talking to me about how I need to, what I need to be sharing with my kids about what they should be doing as far as investments. And this is what he said. The earlier you start, the more important it is. I've already kind of missed the boat in this area, because I'm in my 40s now. But when you start, when you're 18, 17, 18 years old, and you start putting money away, a certain amount, you take like 10% of your money when you get your first job, before you get anything else, you start putting that money away. And when you do that, what happens is over the years, after you invest this, and he said, you don't have to even invest in something fancy. You don't have to know the stock market. You can put it in something simple and do this. But if you do that consistently, from the time you're young until the time you're old, by the time you retire, you'll be a millionaire. He said, it's just that way. And the reason, this is the reason I'm telling you about this, it's really an interesting principle. It's really, but a lot of people won't do it because they're pushing it off. They're pushing their opportunity away. They're saying, well, I want to spend the money now. That's why I tell my kids, and I'll point to you again and say now, don't spend all the money you got. Just because you can, don't go out and buy something. You better start thinking about the future. But anyways, that was for my kids, and if you want to, you know, take part of that, you can. But at any rate, so why does this work? Because after it starts accumulating, it continues. It's kind of like residual income. It gets itself going, and then after it gets so big, it's just going to keep going, whether you do anything with it or not. Amen. And so that's the kind of another illustration that the Lord gave me about opportunities, about the things that He's doing. God wants us to accumulate. And the blessings in our life will do that. The things He has us do, the opportunities He puts before us. And sometimes in the beginning, it's going to look like you're going to have more opportunity than you do blessing. There's going to be a lot of times when you think, man, I got a lot of places to give, but I don't got enough money to give. Or I've got a lot of places to sow, but I ain't got enough time to sow. See, this is why it's important to prioritize. This is also why the devil is doing a really good job at getting people distracted. He gets people so busy with everything that they forget about the work of the Lord. They forget about the things God wants to do. And then they just throw their hands up and say, I ain't got time. Well, here's the truth. Your opportunity was given to you when you were given the opportunity. You know how you get time when you've been given opportunity? You make that opportunity a priority in your life. See, this is the problem that a lot of people won't do. A lot of people won't lay down something because they deem them more important. And so God presents an opportunity, and there it is. Yeah. I know this as a pastor. I've presented people with opportunities, and they've taken it or they've left it. But that's up to them. It's not up to me. And I've seen God give people more and more and more opportunities all the time. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to be faithful with the opportunities that God gives us. Because whatever they are, those are the things that will increase us. See, we'll look for the increase elsewhere, but we'll never find it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, just some foundational things. I want to share a couple scriptures with you. I'm just going to pull them up on the screen. So if you're taking notes, write them down. If not, just look up here. Praise the Lord. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, just to prove my point. It says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Verse 28. Then God what? Blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Praise the Lord. So first God created man, and then what did He do? He blessed them. Yes. And what did He bless them with? We see it right there. Because we see it in the instruction. Be fruitful and multiply. This was not just talking about multiplying and having lots of kids. Because if that's it, then every one of us is in sin if we haven't produced hordes and hordes and hordes of children. Amen? Because this idea of being fruitful and multiplying isn't one or two kids. One or two times you is not a multiplication. In fact, there's two people that it takes to make a kid, right? So even if you have four kids, that's still only doubling what you got, right? Am I right in that? Somewhere along there, amen? If you only got one kid, then you didn't even do that. If you have no kids, well, then you haven't been fruitful and multiplied at all. But you see, that's not all that it's talking about. Yes, that's part of it. But He says, have dominion over the fish of the sea. Or He said, fill the earth and subdue it. So we're supposed to multiply and increase the number of people on the earth, but also we're to subdue it. We're supposed to take possession or take control over it. But the blessing of the Lord on our life was to do these things. In fact, it's so much so on the life that you don't even have to pray to God for it to happen. Anybody who's fornicated that's had a child out of wedlock knows exactly what I'm talking about. The blessing of the Lord wasn't on that. In the sense of that He isn't, that God was coming down and saying, here, I'm giving you a baby. God has put that in the ability of man to do. And so but just as there is seed in us to be able to produce children, there is seed in us to produce what God has intended us and everything that God has intended us to produce in life. Why? Because God fills every area of our life. He didn't just look at that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now we're going to look at Genesis 22, 17 and 18, because I know you still don't believe me yet. And He said here to Abraham, He said, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Praise the Lord, verse 18. And your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, that's great. I know, right, Pastor Jeff, because it's talking about Abraham's seed and what's his descendants. Or do we even know if we're descendants of Abraham? I knew you were asking that. Actually, you probably all know the answer to this. But we know that we are children of Abraham. Amen. And so why don't you go ahead and turn with me to Galatians. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 3. We have to understand that the blessing of the Lord is inherent to who we are. We have inherited it. It's part of us. You cannot utilize it. Do you know that what my wife and I went on a trip, we got back and we didn't drive her car for a week. We drove her car on the trip, didn't drive it for a week, right? Or something like that, 5 days or something like that. Sat in the garage, just like that. We just drove my vehicle around, right? For 5 days, that turbo sat idle. Didn't produce anything. It didn't go fast nowhere. Didn't have no get up and go. It had a lot of get down and squat, you know, stop. It didn't do anything, right? This is the same thing in our lives. We can activate it or we cannot activate it. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. It says, for you are all sons of God through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. What is this telling us? The blessing of the Lord does not seek you out if you are a man more than if you were a woman. If you were a Jew over being a Greek or a Greek over being a Jew, none of it matters. Basically, the context of what's being said here is that it doesn't matter all the other stuff. If you are a child of God, then you are His. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. But you're not just Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The Bible says that we are heirs according to the promise. The blessing of Abraham is on us through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you believe in who Christ was, if you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, the blessing of Abraham, the blessing that the Lord had put on Abraham is on you. And that same blessing was the one that was put on mankind from the very beginning. Praise the Lord. Only he's increased it. And that's exactly what he does. And so we have to understand. We have to stop moping around thinking that we're not blessed because the blessing of the Lord is on us. Now, if we are not accessing the blessing of the Lord, that's another story. Then we need to look at the access. But I'm going to tell you that the access, at least what I have seen and found in my life and seen through reading Scripture, the access to the blessing of the Lord is always given through opportunity. Praise the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for what? The flesh. In other words, see, most people are just satisfying the flesh. They're using their freedom as just a way of freedom in Christ to just access the flesh. I can do what I want, I can have what I want, and that's what I'm going to do. But that's why they never walk in the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see this now, that God's blessing, I hope you see this, that God's blessing is already upon you. You haven't got to go looking for it. So when you look at somebody else and you say, man, you're really blessed, they're no more blessed than you are. Yeah. Not if you believe in the same God. Praise the Lord. They're no more blessed than you are. There's no more... Everything that God has moved us, every great thing that God has moved us into in life, He has moved us into it through opportunity. And the opportunity cost us. Do you understand that? Now, am I saying that we're perfect? No. I'm saying the blessings that we've walked into have been, but that doesn't mean I haven't given up blessings. Surely there are things that I've foregone because I hadn't had my mind right, because I didn't look at things right. I wouldn't think of things right. I didn't fill myself with the knowledge and the word of God, and so therefore I didn't walk in it.
Right.
If you want to be blessed, you have to put yourself in the place of being of utilizing opportunities that God gives you. I remember a minister once said this, and I loved it. It's stuck with me ever since then. He said that every single time an offering bucket goes by you, every single time an offering bucket goes by you, you sow whether you put in something into it or not. Every single time. And so I learned this principle, and I learned it from my pastor. I remember him. I remember ministers telling us stuff like this, where they were so poor they had nothing. This was before they were ministering a lot of times, but they were so poor they had nothing, and the bucket went by and they had nothing. They plucked off a button and threw it into the offering bucket. Now listen, don't be taking off your buttons and throwing them into the. We want your pants to stay on. We want your shirt to stay buttoned. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying. But that, what that shows is the heart of somebody. That's somebody who's saying, this is opportunity for me. I'm not letting it go by. Now, you know, my wife a lot of times will take up the offering here in Corey, and you'll see the offering bucket go by me. It doesn't apply because our money's together going into the bucket up here. But that doesn't mean that we haven't, that I haven't sown in it and she hasn't sown in it if I took up the offering, you know. And so obviously we're not going to get like crazy about this. But the truth of the matter is there's opportunities for us all the time. You know, people want their life to be easier, and yet they don't give anything to the house of the Lord. And I'm talking about their time. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Shouldn't it be the concern of every Christian whether, like, if you see that something is not getting done, shouldn't that be the concern of every single Christian in the church? If you belong to a church, shouldn't it concern you if you see a weed growing up out of the side? I say this all the time. People like walk by it, they won't even think anything of it. But see, where's the mindset of this is the house of the Lord? Yeah. This is where my God is going to meet with his people. I can't let that weed be there. Right. But you see, this is how people think. They think, well, somebody else will take care of it. Well, if you're a person who's always thinking somebody else will take care of it, you're a person who's always foregoing the blessing of the Lord. Because there was your opportunity. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I said there was your opportunity. Glory to God. We see somebody, maybe you see an opportunity down the street. Maybe you see somebody who's, you're in the store and somebody didn't have enough to finish their groceries and you just so happen to have the extra $10 they needed. Are you bold enough that you would step out? Are you willing enough that you would step out and say, you know what, I know I might not have coffee money for the next month, but I'm going to bless this person with this money. See, if you won't do stuff like that, you're not a person who wants to exhibit the blessing of the Lord. You just want to get blessed for you. Right. See, that's a lot of cases what it is. What about somebody who's healing, needs healing? If you need healing in your life, do you are you just focused on your healing, or do you pray for other people for their healing? Do we've said this all the time, if you need your mortgage payment, do you sow into somebody else's mortgage payment? Whatever the thing is, how are you sowing out? How are you putting out? See, people are passing up opportunities all the time, but God has given us. He said, give and it shall be given to you. He said, give and it shall be given to you. Doesn't say pray for money. I don't know of one scripture that says pray for money. Do you know that? In fact, Jesus said, don't worry about your needs. I don't see one scripture that says pray for your needs. That should speak to someone. You know what I'm saying? What needs is he talking about? What needs do you need? Where in the Bible does it say pray for everything? You know, there's things, you know, obviously we can ask God for things we need, but that idea of asking is like, you know, the idea of it's just in passing. It's not even not something you spend time on. If you're praying, I remember Pastor Katie said this once to me, our pastor's wife. She also helps pastor the churches. But Pastor Katie said to me once, and I was embarrassed. She said to me, she's like, it wasn't Pastor Jeff. She said, Jeff, what do you believe? What are you praying about? What do you, you know, believe in God for, praying, asking God for? What have you been, just in general? And I said, I started thinking. I kind of stopped, and I was like, I guess just some our needs, I guess. Because at the time, we were in lots of need. Yeah. And she just looked at me. She said, oh. And she didn't say anything else, but she didn't have to. Praise the Lord. It convicted me. And she wasn't meaning to do that. But it convicted me. And I said, man, I got to get something right here. Yeah. See, if you're praying for something over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and it's not changing, you're missing your opportunity. Yeah. What you're doing is you're taking your opportunity and you're spending it on yourself. Yeah. Instead of spending those 10 hours worrying, maybe you should have been spending those 10 hours volunteering or something. Yeah. I got another example. I love examples. Praise the Lord. Justin Thorpe. I just love using this example. Reverend Justin now. Praise the Lord. He's been reverendized. Praise the Lord. He was here a few weeks ago and visiting us. Glory to God, we preach him right out of here. But Reverend Justin, I remember he had come to me. He was like, I was working on church staff at the time. I took care of the lawn maintenance. How many people do this? He didn't have a job. He just lost his job. I can't remember how he was on unemployment. He said, you know what? I'm going to serve the Lord. Yeah. Listen, you ain't got nothing to do? I can give you stuff to do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, here's the opportunity. And so he came. And of course, that was a bigger ministry. And there was a lot of work to be done. You know, he came and he served. And he was sitting there working. And if you go to the Jamestown Church, if you pull in the lower driveway and you look to the right and that nice manicured area right there, it wasn't like that when I got there. That was all tall weeds and brush and everything. And we by hand because we didn't have any equipment. Because back then, you know, there was still not much coming into the offering, just enough to get the bills paid kind of thing. You know, that's the way it was back then. And we didn't have, I couldn't just rent equipment when I wanted to. Now they want to put in a parking lot. They put in a parking lot. Now they want to, you know, raise money for this. They do that, you know, and they can do that. But they've grown to a different place. But then it was just do it by hand. And so there he was with a rake and clippers and whatever else he had. But guess what? It was right there that I got a phone call. Said, hey, I'm looking for somebody to work for me. Do you know anybody good? And I said, hey, I happen to have a guy right here, although I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to lose the labor. But that's exactly what happened. See, and he got a job, and it turned into another job. And see, that's the way the Lord works things. And so we look at smaller things as sometimes as, like, you know, it's lesser to go work for free than it is to go work for money. It's lesser to go volunteer your time. But guess what it did? It pays out. Opportunity. God will bless you through opportunity. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 3. We're going back to Proverbs. Love me some Proverbs. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3 and verse 3. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. The word truth literally means faithfulness. Or as I like to call faithfulness often, faithfulness. The fullness of faith. Full of faith. Praise the Lord. That's what truth is. Glory to God. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord will lead us into all truth. Glory to God. And the truth of the word of God is submission and faithfulness. That's what it is. God was faithful to you, so you be faithful to him. If you want to sum up everything in the word, you can sum it up right there. Amen. So it's not even a stretch to say that. But that also makes up who our God is. He's merciful. And of course, all these things are found in love. We know that God is love. But see, these things all play a part of it. When the Bible tells us what love is, what does it show us? It shows us that it's merciful. It shows us that it's faithful, amongst other many other things. And so this isn't far-fetched, amen? So let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Amen? What is this instruction that the Bible is giving us? You choose whether or not these things will be... Amen. You know what the Lord has taught me about mercy? I love this. Whenever I have not wanted to have mercy on someone, the Lord always reminds me of times where I've needed mercy. Yeah. And you know what that does? Every single time, it both melts my heart and it scares the junk right out of me. I'm just telling you right now. Why? Because if I withhold mercy, guess what he's going to do? He'll withhold mercy. Whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. If you withhold faithfulness, what will God withhold from you? Faithfulness. Praise the Lord. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And so this is telling us that if we have to make sure that these are, it says bind them around your neck. Amen. The idea is it's kind of like a yoke, you know, on an oxen that you lock it around your neck. When you bind it around your neck, it's not getting taken away. It can't just fall off. It's not like an earring with a loose back that like my wife just loses once in a while. Glory to God. It's bound around your neck. It's tied to you. Glory to God. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, your heart is that thing that's hidden away, that's packed away, that just not anyone can access. And so to write it on the tablet of your heart means that you put it so down deep, you put it in the very core of who you are, that you take these truths and you put them there, you press them down and you don't let them go. And when you do this, the Bible says, you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. It goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. See, your own understanding is always going to want to take you to that place of don't do this and don't do that. Or go over, you know, do the opposite of what the Bible says. You withhold too much because you need it. Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Your paths are the opportunities that God's going to give you to bless you, to be blessed in all things. The paths that God, but you have to have the right mindset. You have to have the mind of God. You have to be thinking the way He thinks. And that's on this higher level, amen? You have to see things differently. God will direct your paths because the paths He's going to give you are the paths into the blessing that you're looking for. But the blessing that you're looking for, and when I say that, I don't mean the blessing that you're looking for in that it's a, I'm just scrambling around constantly looking for my blessing. That's called greed. That's called coveting, and that's not what you're going to be blessed with. But I'm talking about the blessing that you were searching for anyways. The path of life, praise the Lord, is found in the path of God. When you want to live a good life, you follow the path of God. That's why we submit ourselves to the Word. That's why we submit ourselves to elders. That's why we submit ourselves to one another. That's why we submit ourselves to our spouse. Praise the Lord. Because in doing so, this is where we're blessed. Glory to God. Notice it's in the direction. And again, this is, the Bible is called instruction in righteousness. Instruction is for the instructed to do, to walk out, to act out. The instruction is for the one who's being instructed to do the thing they're instructed to do. And if you won't do the thing you're instructed to do, you can't be blessed. Why? Because you're not, because the Bible says that's how it comes. You don't believe me? Let's go to Ephesians, or I'm sorry, let's go to Deuteronomy 28, not Ephesians. Praise Jesus. Deuteronomy 28. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass if you, everybody say if I, that means you. If you diligently obey, me too. If you diligently, if I diligently, we should read it like this. Now it shall come to pass, if you open this later, which you should, if you don't, you're a fool. I'm just telling you the truth. Like if you know, so many times people are looking through life, I don't know why I got on this, but this is good. But so many times people are going through stuff and I'm like, oh, the thing that I just preached. Yeah. Why do you think God had me preach it? Because you need it. And if you don't need it right now, you're going to need it in a minute. Praise the Lord. Why do you need to know about the blessing? Because the devil's going to try to rob your blessing. Or maybe he's been robbing your blessing. If you've been just really blessed, you say, no blessing of mine has been robbed. Well, it's about to happen. So just prepare yourself for the ride. Praise the Lord. The devil, listen, that's the thing. That stuff, you know, attacks and stuff, they come. If you haven't noticed this about life, that they don't slow down just because you're busy. They don't slow down just because you don't want one. They don't slow down just because you just had one. Praise the Lord. The attacks just keep coming. But it don't matter because I'm blessed. Amen. So when you go back later and read this, because I know you were, because you don't want to be a fool and you don't want me pointing you out and calling you a fool. Praise the Lord. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of your God, diligently obey the voice of your God, if you diligently take each opportunity. What's his voice going to be? Oh, Renee, I love you so much. You're so good. This is Mark. You're everything you're doing is perfect. Allison, you're pretty awesome. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, you're awesome too. Yeah, I ain't going there again. And we're not going. Praise the Lord. We've been down this last Sunday, and I'm just hallelujah. You know, when you talk a lot, every once in a while you say things that just don't sound right. And then you try to backtrack out of that. Well, I ain't even going any further with that. But now, listen, he's telling you things. He's giving you his voice. He's given us the word to help us get into his blessing. He's saying it's absolutely accessible. But you got to listen. You got to diligently heed the voice of the Lord. To observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now, where this doesn't apply to us is that the law that was given to us back then, we haven't got to follow every single commandment in the law. Aren't you glad? Yeah. But that doesn't mean that we don't have any commandments we got to follow. Jesus said, if you love me, what will you do? You'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I tell you to do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The greatest commandment is love. Let me just tell you. There's a whole lot that can be found in that commandment of love. People say, well, the only commandment we have to live by is love. Yeah, do you even understand what is entailed in the law of love? Complete sacrifice. Jesus said that no greater love has anyone that he would lay down his life for his friends. So you want to say you're the greatest commandment, the only commandment we got to follow is love. When was the last time you laid down your life for anybody? I wasn't pointing to you, Liz. I know I pointed over this because praise the Lord, she's pretty good at doing that anyways. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, when we lay down our, like the Bible has called us to a higher thing, but in that law of love can be a lot of things. You know, in that law of love can get the air conditioning working for Pastor Jeff. That's just a joke, praise the Lord, because I preach without it, and if I never had it, I would, you know, that's not the thing. That's not the reason that I'm saying that, you understand? And I'm definitely not just trying, I was saying that for some comic relief. I'm not trying to get you to do something, but I'm drawing a point, a conclude, you know, amen. So anyways, I command you this day that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You make the most of every opportunity that the Lord will put in your path. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Specifically, when this message was birthed out of those words, give him an opportunity. Again, when the Lord speaks to me, like that, I always understand it. There's always a revelation that comes with it. That it's not just the words that we're saying, but it's the meaning behind the words. And it's truly wonderful. It's an amazing thing that God does. But, you know, sometimes in life, we're not going to do everything that's perfect, the right thing. But see, what the Lord will do is he will give us opportunity to make it right. Even though we should have gotten it on our own and we didn't, God will give us opportunity. He will open the door for opportunity in our lives just to try to get us blessed. That's how much God loves us. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful that, you know, this happened to me today. There was something that I knew a minister that is over me in the Lord that they were talking about getting. Now, they weren't talking to me about getting it because they wanted me to buy it. They just knew that we had, actually, he had seen my wife with this thing. It's her tablet there. And he wanted to, he was wondering about it. So he was just asking about it. But as he was asking about it, in my spirit, I knew I had to make that happen. No, that's not a cheap date. It's not something that you just pick up for a few bucks and, you know, there's thought that has to go behind it. There's money that has to go behind it. Right. And guess what I didn't do? I didn't listen. I knew I was supposed to, but I didn't listen. Now, it wasn't just for me. It was also something for the church to do. But I could say this. Very rarely, given if I'm prompted to give an offering for the church into something else, that I won't also put my own money into it. That should speak to you as well. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I gave up the opportunity. Well, this afternoon, as I was reading that book, God, because there was something that was said specifically that brought that back to my remembrance. And that was one of the things I repented before about. And so I called this or texted this person and I said, listen, I said, you got that thing. I knew he got it. And I said, I need to give you the money. I was supposed to do that. And he completely released me. He's like, oh, you're so good to me. He's like, you don't have to do that. He was like, you know, blah. He tried to give me every, and I said, no, listen, like, I need to make this right. And so I was thankful that God gave me opportunity to make it right. Now, I didn't have any idea that I was going to share any of this tonight, but it doesn't matter anyways. I don't care if you think that or not. I'm sharing it because God is so, and those who will take hold of this will be blessed, and those who won't, it's opportunity, see? It's opportunity for you to see one of the areas where I failed so you cannot fail there, amen? Now, fortunately, God brought it back around, and he gave me another opportunity. But you know what I did? I didn't squander the opportunity. When I made good on the opportunity, we added on to it. So not only did we pay for the thing, but we added on to it. So we gave more. So they were just extra blessed and said, "This." My wife said, as she sent the money, she said, this is for interest, wink, wink. Not really. You know, and so that's it. But see, that is the blessing of the Lord. And that's opportunity. God gives us opportunities like that all the time. It doesn't have to be in the church. It doesn't have to be with your pastor. It can be with absolutely anybody. But the point is we should be looking for those opportunities. There's so many times where I've watched it. I'll be honest with you as a pastor, where I've known people were supposed to do, so I won't say anything to them because I will never try to get blessing into my own life from somebody else. I will never do that. But I've watched it where people had opportunity and they've squandered it. All because they were just being clueless about it. Yeah. We got to stop doing that kind of thing. I'm not just talking about it as a pastor. See, there's people out there that would twist it, but I'm just going to say this. I don't care. I don't really care because I mean, anybody who knows me knows that I'm not in this for money anyways or to get, you know, to try to get in because God takes care of us. Praise the Lord. But that's not the point. Do you know that? Here's the thing. God will lead you at doing something or doing something for someone else. Praise God. I can't even share that example. I can't share that example because it could appear self-serving. So I'm going to skip over it, but I am going to tell you the principle behind it, that God will have you do something that somebody else doesn't need, but you do. Praise the Lord. He will have you do something that somebody else doesn't need, but you do, and he'll do it just to get blessing in your life. But people will get offended by hearing stuff like that. They'll get mad about hearing stuff like that. They'll never do it, and that's why they're not blessed. Praise the Lord. Blessing comes into our lives because we're willing to be a blessing. Now, again, I for that opportunity that I missed, God gave me a way back around into it. But there's been opportunities that I completely missed. There was one time, I'm going to give you another one, praise the Lord. There was an opportunity early on when we were early on in the church. We were serving our pastors and stuff like that. And there was two women in specifically that we were supposed to, who labored much in the word and doctrine, okay? And we had it on our hearts to give them a certain amount of money. I can't remember what it was even now. But it was a big number for us at the time and to sow into their lives. And we didn't do it because we squandered the opportunity. We looked at it, it was like, well, you know, this, it would really stretch us to do this, you know. But then it was about a year, maybe even 2 years almost later. You know what I'm talking about? You remember? It was a year or maybe even 2 years later. It was quite a while after that that the Lord brought that back up. And again, I repented before them. I talked to the husband specifically. And there was another thing there too, man. And some of it's not even money. Some of it was just in saying the right thing and doing something for somebody. You know what I mean? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That was similar to this one, so I'm going to go on to the next one. You know what I mean? And that we ended up doing, making it right, and it was a blessing to them. But the same, there was another person that was connected to all that, and that's why I thought about that, who had gone through a really hard time. They had actually fallen, and they had fallen into some stuff. And I had some things on my heart to share with them, and I specifically didn't share it with them because I was afraid that I'd get in trouble if I did. Yeah. But those things that I knew that I needed to share. And several years later, I got opportunity to tell this person. I was like, listen, I was supposed to say this to you, and I didn't because I was afraid. And he's like, I'm not trying to put any kind of condemnation on you. But he said, you don't understand how much those words would have meant to me at that time. and going through a trial that almost took him out. And see, that's what I'm saying. It's important for us. God will use us to minister to others. We need to be open to do it in all areas of our life. If you don't look at everything in your life as opportunity, praise the Lord. Everything that you have is opportunity. If you don't look at it that way, then that's an area that you, an avenue that you tie off and you won't allow God to bless you through. Praise the Lord. We have people, you know, I mean, as a father, as a, you know, sometimes there's things that our families will sow into things. If you don't allow that opportunity, it's an area, it's an avenue that you cut off from the Lord being able to bless you. And we have to understand this, that the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, but there is so much to it. We have to look for the opportunities. We have to be willing to go. And I didn't get very far into this, but as you continue to read, and I'm not going to read any more of these, if you read through verse 14 on your own, which again, you should, but if you look, you'll see that everything there is opportunity. When it's talking about, and it's perpetual, kind of that perpetual blessing. When you see man walking, he said, you'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. When you go in, praise the Lord, it's with you everywhere. And that's the context of what's being said. Amen. Go ahead and pull up 2 Corinthians 9:8. Look at this here. It says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Grace, remember, grace is God's ability in your life. Praise the Lord. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, being sufficient means you always can, you have a full supply, you can do whatever you need to do, may have an abundance for every good work. See, the sufficiency and the abundance is not just so you have, but it's so you have for a good work, every good work. God is able to make the grace abound towards you, but how do you think that the grace actually abounds? When it says God is able, it doesn't mean God is able, but he's not willing. It means he's able and willing, but you have to do your part. First of all, you have to look at your sufficiency and understand that the things that you have in life, if they can't be given for the gospel, that doesn't mean you have to give up everything in your house. That doesn't mean that everything nice you have to ever give away. You understand? But it means you should be willing to. There should be nothing. And just remember this. I'm going to say this again. And I believe this is by the Spirit of God. If there is something that you withhold, it is an avenue that you have cut God's blessing off in your life. So the more things that you say, that's why we say all the time, Lord, whatever we have is yours. That's why we desire. You know why it's good that Christians own things outright and not just have loans perpetually on things? You know why? Because you can't give away something that the bank owns. But if you own it, you can give it away. How do you know that if you don't pay? Why should you care about paying off your car or paying off your house or not always being in debt? Why should you care about these things? Because in doing so, see, a lot of people just want to care about it because they just don't want the pressure of the debt. But that's completely the wrong motive. You'll never see it come. If your desire for getting out of debt isn't so you can fund the gospel, so you can't perpetuate God's kingdom, so you can't pour into others, then your motives are all wrong. If yours is just so you can have a nice, happy nest egg that you can retire on, or you can sit somewhere like in the Bahamas later on in life and just do whatever you want to do, it's wrong. I'm just telling you, I know this is strong preaching, but it's the truth. See, people, but this is what I found, and don't get sad, don't get mad, because here's the truth to it all. There is nothing the Bible promises us, and we're not even going to go to the scripture, that you can give up, that God will not return to you in this life and the next 100 times. There's nothing that you can give up that he won't bless you back with. But your motives have to be right. You have to be good. Look at this. May have an abundance for every good work. Your abundance. Like, listen, there's people... My God, my wife and I said, you know, if we can pay off our mortgage, we could start putting that towards a church mortgage. Yeah. Praise the Lord. How many people think that way? Yeah. Do you realize that if everybody in this room right here thought that way about this church, you know how quick this church could get paid off? Yeah. Do you know how quick the church in Mayville could get paid off? Yeah. I'm serious. Yeah. This is why people are like, God's withholding from me or whatever. I just don't see it. No, they're not. You're stingy. Yeah. You won't give out. And again, it's not just about the finances, because the finances are the smallest part of the work. What's the work? We should have so many people clamoring to get in here to serve, to get things done, to get things taken care of. These streets should be filled with Family Church people going, where are the people in the church? It's not my job. My job is to preach the word. The job of reaching the people is up to all you. And it doesn't matter if it's this church or that church or the other church. And if we fill this church and that church, then we need to be filling other people's churches. Why? Because the time is short. Things are happening. Things are happening all the time. People need to hear the gospel. It needs to be a desire in the heart of Christians. And maybe you're just sitting there saying, well, I'm shy. I don't even know where to start. You need to start by putting it before God and say, Lord, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're having your ministers preach. And I'm willing. Just help me with it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:10. I want to close here. Yep. Might come in just under the radar, but I don't think so. Galatians 6:10. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to go right here. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6:10, I have it written down. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us, everybody say us. That means me. That means you. Let us do good to all as we have opportunity. Therefore, as we have opportunity, we should be looking for the opportunity. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Yep. Whoo! I'm going to say one other thing. Brothers and sisters in Christ should be exalted in your life. Yep. Your desire to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters that are around you should be a number one desire in your life. Yep. Praise the Lord, or up there at the top of the list. Amen? Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do you know how many times somebody has needed something and they haven't got it? Because the way God does it, he isn't going to magically appear money or things in your backyard. Right. Praise the Lord. How he's going to do it is he's going to send some. He's going to put it on someone's heart. Go take care of this for them. Go do this for them. Yeah. Maybe it's an area that you know. We can't get into bondage over these things either. You know, there's a lot of people that try to dictate the blessing in their life, saying, well, you should do this for me and you should do this for me. Right. Yeah, I endeavor to be a minister that is a blessing to people. Why? First and foremost, because I'm taught to be a leader and to show people how they're supposed to be. But if you're somebody who's used to receiving blessing, but not used to putting it out, you better twist that around. Praise the Lord, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. What do I mean by that? When you give, when you're a giver, it turns on God's blessing. It opens the spigot of God's blessing in your life. The turbo's waiting for you to press the pedal, folks. That's what we're saying. Glory to God. So if you are willing to press the pedal or turn the spigot or do whatever metaphor you need to get the juices flowing, squeeze the trigger, praise the Lord, you know, like the hose, not the gun, but the hose. Praise the Lord. Or the gun, the bazooka. What do you want to, listen, how much blessing you want in your life? Pick up a bigger gun. Pick up a bigger hose. Do you know what I'm saying? Endeavor to do more. How, like, you understand when you start thinking this way, praise the Lord. It'll change the way you come to church. Because when you come to church, you'll be like, praise the Lord. What can I do, praise God, to ensure this? And sometimes just what you can do is just sit there and be like, let's go. Let's go. I want it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's what it is. But if you do that, see, that kind of stuff is the stuff that gets like, it emanates off of you and it gets other people hungry and gets other people goofy. Amen. We need to be goofy about the Lord. We need to be stirred up and excited about the things of God. Amen. We open the gates, the floodgates, get the blessing flowing. Amen. Glory to God. It won't always happen overnight. So don't just think, well, if I put $10 in the offering, it's coming back tomorrow. Praise the Lord. So whatever you do, you got to do it in faith. But you know where you start? You start on your knees. And I don't mean you literally have to get on your knees, but you start getting before the Lord and say, Father, what areas of my life can I make better in this area? That's just a willingness. And to start saying, when he shows you, see, you said, well, Pastor Jeff, you said a bunch of things tonight. I know I did. Yeah. This doesn't mean you have to do any of those things. Right. It doesn't mean all you have to do is be willing to get before the Lord and say, Lord, show me what I got to do. Right. He'll tell you. You won't even hear my voice. Glory to God. You won't even have to ask me what it is. He'll show you what you got to do. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah.